Today's Shir is Masechta Shavuos Daf Gimel. We're going to begin on Daf Beis on the Beis at the Gemara. Yesterday we learned the Mishnah that discussed at great length various halachas. Asked the Gemara Michti, Tana Makas Solik. We just finished learning Masechta Makas. Mishnah the Tani Shavuos. Why now does Masechta Shavuos follow Masechta Makas? And as Tosfos points out, even though we have a rule that in two mesechtes, the order of the mesechtes and the order of the mishnayos are not to be used to make decisions, so why is the Gemara asking why Shavuos follows Makas? So I saw many pshatim in the Rishonim. One pshat I saw in the Rishonim is certainly if we could give an explanation why two mesechtes are near each other, we should try to give an explanation. Another explanation that I saw is that even though the order of the mesechtes aren't specific, but the fact that two mesechtes are put next to each other always has a reason. Another pshat that I saw is that all of Seder Nezikin is considered one long mesechta. And as I said a moment ago, even though between two mesechtes we don't have a specific order, within one mesechta we have an order. And if we consider all of Seder Nezikin one mesechta, it makes sense. It's a fair question why Shavuos should follow. Why does Shavuos follow Makas? Now, Farshim also point out, if the Gemara is sort of dissatisfied that Shavuos is following Makas, so what does the Gemara prefer? That the Gemara is asking this question. So some of Farshim suggest that Makas should have come before Masechta Sanhedrin. Why? Because if we remember the first Mishnah we learned the Masechta Sanhedrin, the Mishnah teaches us how many member Bezdin you need to have for a case that involves Malkus. So first you have to learn the Halachas of Malkus, and then you can discuss how many member Bezdin you need to have. Or others suggest we're going to learn a Mitzvah, Masechta Horius, that Masechta Horius perhaps should follow Masechta Makas, because they speak also to the subject about Batei Dinim, and therefore maybe that should have remained over there. And therefore our Gemara asks, Michti, Tanam HaMakas Solok, we just finished learning Masechta Malkas, Maishna the Tani Shavuos, why does Shavuos follow Makas? Answers the Gemara, Mishum the Tani Chayev al Roishtayim. When we learned the end of Masechta Makas, we discussed quite extensively. The Torah says, Leisakifu Pas Roishchem. And the Mishnah described how one is over that laugh. And the Mishnah said, Achs Mikan v'achs Mikan, that there are two payas on everyone's head. One payas, the Torah says, Leisakifu Pas Roishchem, that we're not allowed to straighten out along our forehead line. The payas, and the Torah is teaching, the Mishnah discussed, that there's one on the right hand, one on the right side of the face, and on the left side of the face. To quickly review, we spoke about it fairly extensively when we learned Masechta Makas, but to quickly review and maybe add some points, there's a machloikas rishonim if the lav of Leisakifu Pas Roishchem is only with a razor, because as we learned in that Mishnah, we're going to discuss it in a moment, there's another lav of Leisashchis Pas Konecho, and Leisashchis Pas Konecho is only with a razor, with a tar. The question is, the lav of Leisakifu Pas Roishchem, is that only with a razor also? Is it with any cutting implement? We quoted that the Shulchan Aruch said, it's Machlokes Rishonim, and we quoted that the Shulchan Aruch says that we're Machmer, not with any cutting implement. Furthermore, we mentioned another Machlokes Rishonim, exactly what is the Chiv of Payas. One opinion was that you're not allowed to cut any hair in the area of the Payas. Another opinion was that you have to leave over a certain shear payas. And what is the shear payas? The Rambam says you have to have 40 hairs to be considered having fulfilled the mitzvah payah. It's interesting to note that I said this is something that we didn't speak about. I just saw a correspondence between Rabbi Kiva Eger and his son-in-law, Chassam Sofer, where he asks, if we just said that the halacha is we're not allowed to use any instrument to cut the payas, so how could one use a comb to brush his pay, it's quite likely that you're going to pull out some hair. And if we follow the opinion that cutting out any hair is considered being over the Isser, why is it permitted? So that's Rekiv Eger's question. And in fact, the Brisker Rav says, I saw it quoted in the Haggadah Space Halevi, that that's the makar for the Minig and Brisk, that they have the big pays, because they're scared to do anything in terms of cutting or touching those pays and pulling out the hair. The Chassam Sofer writes back to his father-in-law, Rebbe Kivega, that his Rebbe, Rebbe Nosson Adler, he saw him using a comb to comb the payas. And he says, because even if we hold that you're not allowed to use any implement to cut the payas, it has to be an instrument that's used for cutting. A comb is not an instrument used for cutting. Combined with all the sveikas that I just mentioned, that could be you're only over with a razor, and could be that if you already have 40 hairs, you'll never have the Isser. Certainly, says the Chassam Sofer, one could use a comb to comb his payas. Continues the Gemara. We learned in the Mishnah in Masechta Makkos. Velazokin, the payas on the beard, there are shtayim mikan v'achzomata. As we described, there are five payas on the face of a person. And as we quoted, there are a number of opinions in the Rishonim exactly where those five payas are. Everybody seems to agree that there's one on the chin. But where the other four is a big debate. Some say it's by the jaw and then above the chin. Other Rishonim say that there are two near the jaw. Others say there's one by the jaw and one near the mustache. And as the Rosh says, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes the opinion of the Rosh, since there are so many opinions amongst the Rishonim where there are payas on the face, we have to consider the entire face an area of pas hazaken, that is isser of loisashkus pasukanechem. And as I said a moment ago, the isser, as the Mishnah spoke about in Masechta Makkos, the isser is only using a tar, a razor. However, as we quoted, there are a number of different opinions regarding a tar, a misparayim ke'ein tar. If you use scissors, or I guess we would call it a shaver, that give you a close shave, what is the halacha? Many different opinions. It seems that the opinion of Shulchan Aruch is that it's fine. As long as it's not a razor, it's fine. Other Rishonim are of the opinion that it's osa midaraisa. It's not a chi of malchus, but there's an issa deraisa to use something that would fall into the category of misparayim ke'ein tar. There are other Rishonim say that it's awesome with the Rabbanan. I think that's the opinion you would have to say. There are more follows. Another opinion that I saw is that there's a concern of Maris Ayin. If somebody sees somebody with a very close shave, you don't know that he didn't use a razor. And therefore, maybe there's a concern of Maris Ayin. Furthermore, when we discussed this sugya at the end of Masechta Makkos, I mentioned this because Tosfos goes into this in great length here. The Isser is that there's an Isser on the Makif and there's an Isser on the Nikif. Both the person giving the haircut and the person getting the haircut has an Isser of cutting off the payas. The question is, what would be the halacha if the person giving the haircut is an individual who's not mechuyev in the mitzvah payas? Let's say you're getting a haircut from a guy, or you're getting a haircut from a woman, that they don't have the lava lois akifa pas roishchem. So it seems Tosfos is of the opinion that certainly they won't be over the Isser, because if that Isser doesn't apply to them, it can't apply to them personally, it won't apply when they do it to someone else. The question is, will the Nikif, who gets a haircut from these individuals, have the Isser? And Tosfos says, yes, there are opinions that disagree. But Tosfos, and that's the halacha, says, it makes no difference that you're getting a haircut from someone who doesn't personally have the obligation. It's still an Isser for you of L'Sakifa Pats Roshkem. We also discussed, when we learned Masechta Makkos, a Machloikis Rishonim. The Gemara said clearly that the Isser of L'Sakifa Pats Roshkem applies both to the person giving the haircut and getting the haircut. What would be the halacha regarding the Isser of L'Sashkes Pats Sukanecha? Many Rishonim of the opinion that the same din applies. However, there are Rishonim that say that the din of Makif and Nikif doesn't apply by a haircut. And there's a very nice diik in the Pasuk. Because the Torah, when it uses the words of Loisakifu Pas Roishchem, Loisakifu is a Lashon Rabbim, speaks both to the Makif and to the Nikif. Whereas when the Torah speaks about Loisashchus Pas Kanech, it says it by Lashon Yochid. So it could be it's only speaking to the person getting the shave, not the person giving the shave. There's another interesting point that I saw, two interesting points to make. There's a lot more to say, we just say these two things. The Meches Chinuch, in discussing the issue that Taisus raises, that if someone doesn't have their own Isser of Lois Akifa Pas Roishchem, will they have the Isser when they do it to someone else? And Taisus suggests that they don't. Ask the Meches Chinuch, but why is there no problem of Lifnei Evil, Leisitei Michshel, or Mesayeya, if a Jewish woman is giving a haircut to a Jewish man, and he's having his payas cut, or his beard shaved in an improper way, why is there no problem with Mesayeya, or Lifnei Evil? And he says a very big chiddush. You can never be over Lifnei Evil if you yourself aren't obligated in that mitzvah or aveira. Very big chiddush. Ramosha says a very interesting point based on this Gemara. Quotes the Sefer Achinuch. He says, what is the basis for these lavim, loisakifa pas roishchem, loisashus pas konecho? So he says, the basis is because in those times, it was the custom of the pagan Akum to cut their hair and cut their beards in that way. And we have to be different than the Akum, and that's why the Torah requires that. But certainly, says Ramoshin, it's a double poshet, the Rishonim say it, that let's say nowadays it's not necessarily the custom of the Akum to cut their hair that way and to cut their beards that way. So would these lavim be taken out of the Torah? Chas v'shalom. We know that the Torah remains the Torah in all times. So Moshe uses this to discuss an interesting question. He says, let's say there's someone who's asked to be a teacher in a school and teach different philosophies that have all been disproven. So the question is he allowed to teach it? And he claims that the Torah says, Lesifnu el alilim, which means that you're not allowed to expose yourself to these philosophies. And therefore, even though they've already been disproven, unless you clearly indicate to your students that this is something you're doing, you're teaching them, but they should know it's meaningless, you're not allowed to speak about it. But getting back to Masechta Shavuos, we learned at the end of Masechta Makos again, the Chayav al Rosh Shtayim, Achs Mikan v'Achs Mikan, v'Azokin Shtayim Mikan v'Shtayim Mikan v'Achs L'mata. So we have a situation of Choda, the Mechayav Leitarti. You could have one Aveira that you have multiple Isurim. And here we have a Mechloikus Rashi and Taisvis. What does the Gemara mean? Rashi says that the Gemara means as follows. That if somebody cuts both of his payas at the exact same time, he'll get two Lavim, two Malkus for the two payas. Taisvis takes a different approach. Taisvis' approach is that let's say somebody's cutting his payas, let's say the payas Azokin. And we know that to be considered that you did an Aveira, we've learned numerous times, you have to get Asra. And I give this person Asra that what you're doing is an Aveira. And he does the Aveira, toich de dibra of the Asra, and he cuts one payah, and then he cuts the other payah, or one after the other. Even though he didn't get separate Asras for every cutting, since the first act had a proper Asra, and all these other acts were done in one continuous action, you'll get five separate Malkus. So since the Masechta there speaks about Choda, the Mechayev Latarti, one Aveira for which you get numerous, you could have numerous Lavin, Tana Shvuah Shtayim Shein Arba, so we learn our Masechta also, Shvuah Shtayim Shein Arba, which speaks about many different Aveira, one Aveira that has a lot of different situations. Ask the Gemara, Maishna Hocha, the Tana Lekula, why in our Masechta does the Mishnah mention, why in our Masechta does the Mishnah mention all of these cases of Shtayim Shein Arba? Again, to review, Shavuos, Yediyas HaTumah, Shabbos, and Maris Nagoim, Maishna Hocha the Tani Lo Lekula, or Maishna Gabi Tzitzis HaShabbos, we have a similar Mishnah, the first Mishnah Masechta Shabbos, that speaks about Yediyas HaShabbos being Shtayim Shein Arba. We have Mishnah Masechta Maris Nagoim that speaks about Shtayim Shein Arba. So Mishnah Gabi Tzitz Shabbos and Maris Nagoim, the Loi Ketana Lekula, that not all of the situations of Shtayim Shein Arba are mentioned. Answers the Gemara. Amri, Shvuos V'Yediyas HaTumah. Shvuos and Yediyas HaTumah, the Gabi Hadodi Ksivim, that are mentioned next to each other in the Torah. And furthermore, the Damyana Hadodi, the Karban Oil of Yoyrit, and are similar to each other, as we discussed extensively yesterday, that there's an obligation of a carbon oil of a yair, the carbon that depends on your financial status. That's why Tana Loy Gaba Hadadi are mentioned together. V'adid the Tana Tarti, once these two cases of Shvuas and Yediyas Atuma are mentioned together, Tana Kula, we mentioned the other two cases that speak about Shtayim Shein Arba, Shabbos, and Maris Nagam, but they're not delved into an Al Masechta because they have their own Masechtas. Ask the Mefarshim, if Al Gemara is saying that when are things grouped together, when they have this common characteristic that they're mentioned next to each other in the Torah, and also the fact that there's a carbon oil of a yoyed by them, so the order of our Mishnah is somewhat of a difficult order to understand. Because our Mishnah has first Shavuos, then Yediyas Atuma, then Shabbos, and then Maris HaNagam. But we know, as we mentioned yesterday, that a Metzora, as part of his purification process, brings a carbon, and that carbon is brought, and the carbon that he brings depends on his financial status. So doesn't it make sense that the din of Maris Nagoim should precede the din of Yitzias HaShabbos and HaMishnah? It should be put together with Yediyas HaTum and Shavuos. So I saw that some Rishonim suggest that the main point of Al Gemara is not the carbon oil of a Yoreh part, the fact that Yediyas HaTum and Shavuos are next to each other in the Torah. But that's not Pashup Shan in the Gemara. So why indeed is Yediyas HaTumah not put, why is Maris Nagoim not put together with the other cases of carbon oil of Yoyrit? So I saw the Mefarshim give a number of answers. One answer is, as I discussed in the previous year, by Tumah and by Shavuos, there are three financial categories for the carbon oil of Yoyrit. There's an Ashir, there's a Dal, and then there's somebody who's a Dalus. By Mitzayri, there are only two categories. So it's not really the same. Another teretz, we spoke about this in our previous year, is what the carbon accomplishes by a mitzayra is not the same thing that the carbon accomplishes by Shabbos, by Yediyas HaTumah and by Shavuos. By Shavuah and Yediyas HaTumah, the purpose of the carbon, as normally is the purpose of a carbon, is to be a mechaper, is to bring a kapara. Whereas by Mitzayra, the purpose of the carbon is a machshir. That till now he's tamei, he can't enter the base of Mikdash, he can't eat Kodesh, and now he may. So it's a very different type of carbon, and they're not really in one group. Continues the Gemara. Vayda the Tani Tarti Tana Kula. Asked the Gemara, Pasach B'Shavuos, the Mishnah began speaking about Masech the Shavuos, Umefarish Yediyas HaTumah. But when it comes to explaining the different rules, the first rules that explains are the rules of Yediyas HaTumah. Shouldn't have it explained the first thing it mentioned first? And as Tosfos points out, even though many times in Shas we find that the Mishnah explains first the last thing it mentioned, that isn't the case in our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, the last case, as I just discussed, that was mentioned was Maris Nagoim. So if the Mishnah would have explained Maris Nagoim, we wouldn't have a question. Because the Mishnah is explaining first what it spoke about last. But Maris Nagoim, as I just said, is not explained in our Mishnah. It has its own Mishnayis Masecht in the Gom. So why is Yediyas HaTumah explained first? Shouldn't Shavuos be explained first? Answers the Gemara. I did the Zutra Milayu. Since the halacha of Yediyas HaTumah are less than the halachas of Shavuos, Pasuk Sharlu. So first the Gemara speaks about those halachas, so to speak, if we could say it this way, gets it out of the way. V'hada tani Shavuos, and then the Gemara goes, then the Mishnah, the Masechta goes into Shavuos, the Nefishim Elayim. Here too we have to make a number of observations. Even though the Shavuos, the halachas of Shavuos that were mentioned in our Mishnah, were the halacha of Shavuos Bitui, and Shavuos Bitui only takes up one parak of our Masechta, the halacha of Tumah take up two parakim of our Masechta. So why are we saying that Shavuos are more than Tumah? We don't look at Shavuos Bitui by itself. We look at Shavuos Bitui as part of the general subject of Shavuos. And that takes up many more parakim than the general subject of Tumah. Furthermore, ask Tosfos, so Tosfos on that Beis Amud Aleph, so we should have had if we're going to speak about Yedias HaTumah first, shouldn't we begin with Yedias HaTumah and then explain Yedias HaTumah and mention Shavuos second and then explain Shavuos if we want to follow that order? Why speak about Shavuos, why mention Shavuos and then Tumah and explain Tumah first? So there are two answers. The simple answer is because we're learning Masechta Shavuos. So if we're learning Masechta Shavuos, we want to speak about Shavuos first. Another answer Tosfos gives is that although the Mishnah is going to explain, as the Gemara just said, the halachas of Tumah before it explains the halacha of Shavuos, in the Torah, we find the halacha of Shavuos preceding the halacha of Tumah. Not the halacha of Shavuos Pitui, but the halacha of Shavuos Eidus. And as I said a moment ago, as far as this Gemara is concerned, all of Hilchos Shavuos are considered one group, one category, and therefore the Mishnah wants to follow the order of the Torah. And if the Torah Shavuos precedes Tumah, so too the Mishnah want to follow that similar order. So we learned in the Mishnah, Shavuos Shtayim Shein Arba. What are the Shavuos Shtayim Shein Arba? Shtayim Sh'oichel V'Shloi Oichel. The two cases the Torah speaks about, Lahora Lahetiv, where somebody makes a Shavuot that he will do something good, he'll eat, or he won't do something good, he won't eat. Shein Arba, which are Achalti V'Shloi Achalti, he makes a Shavuot that he ate when he didn't, or he makes a Shavuot that he didn't eat when he actually did. Yedias HaTumah, we spoke about this also yesterday. What are the Shtayim Shein Arba? Shtayim. Yedias HaTumah Shtayim Shein Arba. Shtayim. What are the Shtayim? Yedias Tumah Kodesh V'Yedias Tumas Migdash. The person knows he's eating Kodesh. The person knows he's entering the Beis HaMikdash. But he forgot that he's Tamei. Shein Arba Kodesh HaMikdash. The person knows he's Tamei, but doesn't realize that what he's eating is Kodesh. The person knows he's Tamei, but doesn't recognize that the area he's walking into is Migdash. Yitzias Shabbos, Ashtayim Shein Arba, we'll discuss this more later in the parak. Shtayim, refer to Hotzah Da'ani, Hotzah Da'Bal Bayis, as we explained in our previous year. The case of Hotzah Medaraisa is Mirshus HaYochid L'Rishus HaRabim, and that can be done in one of two ways. Either the person inside the house, inside Rishus Yachid, taking something out of Rishus HaRabim, or the person standing outside, taking his hand in, and removing something from the Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim. Shein Arba, which are Hachnasa Da'ani, Vachnasa Da'Balabayis, with a person outside in Rishus HaRabim bringing something inside into Rishus HaYochid, or the person inside Rishus HaYochid taking his hand out to Rishus HaRabim and bringing something in from the Rishus HaRabim into Rishus HaYochid. Maris Negoim, and we're going to speak about this more, all these cases more as we get deeper into the Perek, Be'ezer Hashem. Maris Negoim, Ashnayim Shein Arba, Shnayim, the Torah speaks about these discolorations of Se'es Ubaheres, Shein Arba, Se'es V'Taldasa, Beres V'Taldasa, different types of discolorations that are included in the categories of Se'es and Beheres. Ask the Gemara, Mani Masnissen, who is the Tanner that is the author of our Mishnah? It seems that it's Loi Rabbi Shmuel V'Loi Rabbi Kiva. It doesn't follow not the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel nor of Rabbi Kiva. Here Rabbi Shmuel, because if we want to review the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, Hamach Rabbi Shmuel's opinion is that the only time Yechayiv a carbon oil of a Yoyrid is Ela Ala Osad Lavai, on Shavuos made into the future, where somebody says, I will or won't do something, and then he violates that Shavuah. Whereas, as we just learned a moment ago, our Mishnah says, Yechayiv Shavuos Pitui, not only regarding Shavuos into the future, but also about Shavuos of the past, where you swore that you ate, and you didn't, or you swore that you didn't, and you did. So our Mishnah doesn't seem to be able to follow the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. E Rabbi Kiva, and if we want to suggest that it follows the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, Homer, Rabbi Kiva's opinion is that you only chayiv, al-helem tumu chayiv, you only chayiv if the person forgot that he's tamei and ate kodesh or entered the migdash, but he's not chayiv, according to Rabbi Kiva, al-helem migdash, that a person was tamei, and he remembers that he's Tamei, but he forgot that he didn't realize that what he's eating is Kodesh. He didn't realize that where he's going is the Migdash, according to Kivi Nachayv, carbon oil v'yoyrit. So Agamara's question is that the case of Shavuos in our Mishnah doesn't follow the opinion of Yishmol, It does follow the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. And the case of Tumah only follows the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, not the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. But our Mishnah has both of them. So whose opinion is our Mishnah following? Says the Gemara, Ibai same Rabbi Shmuel, Ibai same Rabbi Akiva. We could explain our Mishnah according to the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, and so too can we explain it according to the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Ibai same Rabbi Shmuel, what the Mishnah means is, Mehen l'chiv, mehen l'ptor. Shtayim shein arba, by Shavuos. But not that in all cases you're going to be chayv a carbon oil of a yoyrit. Only in certain circumstances will you be chayv a carbon oil of a yoyrit. When? Specifically, in the future, not for the past. Vibayser mekiva, mehen l'chiv, mehen l'ptor. Only Shavuos into the, only tumah, where you forgot that your tumah yechayiv, not when you remembered your tumah. And as the Rishonim point out, and that's shot of our Mishnah, perhaps in understanding our Mishnah, it's always an Avera. According to Rabbi Akiva, even somebody eating Kodesh, when he realizes that he's tumah, but doesn't realize it's Kodesh, or somebody making a full Shavuah about what was, Rabbi Shmuel says it's not mutter. It's only a question of carbon oil of a yoyrid, and that's why they very much belong in our Mishnah. Ask the Gemara l'ptor. So we're saying that not all four cases that we're speaking about in the Mishnah will have the same rule. But ask the Gemara, Hadumi demaras negayim ptani. Our Mishnah, as we spoke about earlier in our shir, has a group of four different rules. Four different subjects. And the Mishnah is saying are all treated the same way. But Maris Nagoyim, as we explained a moment ago, Seis v'taldasa, Baharis v'taldasa, Yechayiv, Seis v'taldasa, Baharis v'taldasa, Yechayiv midaraisa. Here we're saying all four cases are all identical. Here we're saying, according to Shmuel, by Shavuos, according to Akiva by Tumah, not all four cases that our Mishnah is referring to are treated the same way. Hadumi the Maris Ketani. Hadumi the Maris Gan Ketani. Ma Hasam Kulam L'Chiyuva. Af Hachin Nami Kul L'Chiyuva. And here we're saying it's not Kul L'Chiyuva. It's Mehem L'Chiyuv Mehem L'Ptor. Why doesn't the Gemara ask for Shabbos? Answer the Rishonim. Because the Halacha that by Shabbos we're Chayiv for all four cases that the Mishnah refers to, the two cases of Aitzah and the two cases of Achnasa, how do we know you're chayiv on all four of those cases? The answer is, as we're going to learn, because it's grouped together with Tum and Shvuah. But if by Tum and Shvuah won't be chayiv in all four cases, neither will so be the case by Shabbos. So Shabbos itself we're not quite clear what to do with. So when the Gemara wants to ask a kasha, it's not going to ask a kasha from Shabbos. We're not quite certain what the halacha is. The Gemara is going to ask a question from Maris Nagoyim, which is very clear what the halacha is. Answers the Gemara. Lo'ilam Rabbi Shmuel. We can explain that our Mishnah follows the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. The key lo'y mechayiv Rabbi Shmuel l'shavar, when Rabbi Shmuel says that a shvuah that was made in the past, a chalti v'lo'y chalti, yipater, he means specifically regarding the carbon. That if somebody made such a shvua, b'shoigig, and then he realizes that he did the wrong thing, that he doesn't have to bring, according to Bishmol, carbon oil of a yoyrit. But if he would make such a shvua, b'mezid, ava malchus, and therefore there's a chi of malchus, Rabbi Shmuel will agree that you're not only chayiv for shvuas made into the future, you're also chayiv for shvuas that you make into the past. Chiyuv v'mechayiv. But now, the Rishonim ask a gevaldige kasha before we get deeper into this Gemara. If we learn, as we have been learning till now, that the halacha of Shavuos Shtayim Shein Arba means that the Torah speaks about Shavuos into the future, Lahara or Lahetif, and now Chazal said that it's not specifically only regarding the future, it's also regarding the past, we can understand the wording of Shtayim Shein Arba. We start with the two future, and we expand it to the past. But Rabbi Shmuel doesn't agree with that rule. Rabbi Shmuel says that as far as the carbon, we're limiting it to the lahaba, to the l'asid, not to the l'avar. We're speaking about the carbon. So why is it Shtayim Shein Arba? They're all the same. So one simple teretz is that since as far as Hilchus carbon are concerned, shvuas of l'asid are treated stricter than Shavuos of the Ovar, because they have a Chiv carbon oil v'yorid. They don't. The wording Shtayim Shtayim Arba still applies. Other Rishonim, and again, the Rishonim work with this question, because it's a strong question, they say that the Psukim and the Torah are more explicit. As I said, Lahar al-Aitif, the Psukim and the Torah about the Chiv for La'osid, for the Lahaba, are very clear. The Psukim that Yechayiv for the La'ovar, that we're about to learn in a moment, aren't that clear. So the Mishnah is still comfortable in using the wording of Shtayim Shein Arba, even though halachically they're really all the same. So how do we indeed know, says the Gemara, that Rabbi Shmuel agrees that as far as Hilchus Malkus is concerned, as far as Hilchus Mezid is concerned, a Shvuol v'Sha'avar has the same din, even though by Karbonis it doesn't. It's what Rava taught us. Dama Rava, Befirish Ripsa Torah, Shvuol Sheka, Dumi the Shvuol Shav. We spoke about this briefly yesterday. There's something known as a Shvuol Sheker, and something known as a Shvuol Shav. A Shvuol Shav, we explained, means when it's a Shvuol that we used to say it's a Shvuol made in vain. I would think that a better word of it is a pointless Shvuol. If somebody says that this table that's made out of wood is gold, or somebody even makes a Shvuol that this table that's made out of wood is made out of wood, it's pointless, it's meaningless, there's no point in that Shvuol. Shvuol Sheker is somebody makes a Shvuol that's false. And the Torah puts them both together. Machlokes, what does the Gemara mean? Rashi says two pshatim. One pshat is that Rashi says the Torah mentions the din of shav twice. Why does it have to say shav twice? Must be one place is for shav, shvuah shav, and one is for shvuah sheker. Another pshat Rashi says is that the Torah puts the two parshias of shvuah shav and shvuah sheker next to each other to teach us that they're similar. Now, a shvuah shav, by definition, is a shvuah l'shavar. The table already exists. So from here we see Mash shav l'shavar. A shvuah shav, by definition, is a shvuah l'shavar. Af sheker is also l'shavar. And from here we learn that even though there may not be a chiv carbon oil of a yoyrid for a shvuah sheker, somebody makes a shvuah that he did or didn't do something when he did the opposite, but he's chayiv for the lav of mezid a chiv malchus. Ask the Gemara. Bishlama, achalti v'lo achalti. We just proved, Rava just taught us, that if somebody makes a shvuah that he ate when he didn't eat, or he makes a shvuah that he didn't eat when he did eat, that he's chayiv, as Rava taught us. Furthermore, shaloi oichel v'ochel, if somebody makes a shvuah that he will not eat, and then he does, and he violates the shvuah, again we could understand why he's chayiv malchus. However, ask the Gemara, why in a case where somebody makes a shvuah that oichel, that I will eat, v'loi oichel, and then he ends up not eating, why is there a halacha? And that our Gemara is saying actually is what the Mishnah is teaching us, that you'll get Malkus for such a case, as we learned in Masechta Malkus, Lav Shem Emaisahu, if I make a shvuah that I'm going to eat, that I end up not eating, isn't that a lav shev b'maisa? And we learned in Masechta Malkus that for lav shev b'maisa, there's no chiv malchus. And there's an interesting point to make here. It's actually Tosfos in tomorrow's daf, but I'll say today. Tosfos asked the following question. Let's say I make a shvuah that I'm going to eat this loaf of bread. And then I take that loaf of bread and destroy it. So I can never be mekayim that shvuah. So maybe it's a lot. Is that going to be considered, would I get Malkus? Would it be considered I violated the Shvuah? Taisha says no, because I destroyed the bread, but that doesn't pertain specifically to the Shvuah. And it's a Gevaldig Raya. Because if we would say that the destruction of that loaf of bread is considered that I'm violating the Shvuah, why does Al Gemara say that if somebody makes a Shvuah that is going to eat something, it's a Lav Shem B'maisa, and then doesn't eat it, it's a Lav Shem B'maisa? It's a lav shesh b'maisa. I destroyed the bread. It must be that even for the destruction of the bread, it has nothing to do specifically with the shvuah. So again, ask the Gemara. Why does Rabbi Shmuel say that our Mishnah was saying now follows that opinion? That somebody makes a shvuah that's going to eat a loaf of bread and then ends up not eating it. He'll get malchus. Amai, why? Lav shesh b'maisa who answers the Gemara. Kesavar Rabbi Shmuel. Rav Shmuel is of the opinion, Lav Shem B'maisa, like and Allah. That for Lav Shem B'maisa, we get Malkus. Machlokes had to learn this line of the Gemara. We're going to learn what Rashi's pshat. The Rabbi Shmuel is of the opinion that all Hashem by Mises, you get Malkus. Tosfos doesn't necessarily agree with that pshat. However, as the Gemara, Ihochi, if our Mishnah is now following the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, and our Mishnah is teaching us now that for Lav Sheim by Maisi you get Malkus. And again, to review what is the case, that if somebody met a shvu that is going to eat a loaf of bread, he gets Malkus. If he ends up not fulfilling that shvua, ask the Gemara, we have another problem. We'll have a steer in Rabbi Yochanan. Don't Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan teaches us Shalach Kistam Mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan teaches us a rule for all of Shas. That Aloch Kistam Mishnah. If we have a Mishnah that's quoted anonymously, that Mishnah is the Mishnah to follow Halacha. And the reason why, because when Rebbe wanted to quote a Halacha that we should follow, he didn't want to mention anyone's name, that we should think it's only the opinion of a specific individual. So he left it anonymous, Stam Mishnah, that everybody, that we should know that's the Halacha. So the Gemara's question is, here we have a Stam Mishnah that seems to be paskening the Lav Shem B'Maisa, you get Malkus. Vitmar, and we learned, Shvua, a case, where somebody made a Shvua, Sh'oichel Kikazah Hayoim. Somebody made a Shvua that he's going to eat this loaf of bread today. V'avayoyim v'layochel, and the day passed and he didn't eat it, says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lokashtam Mitavayu, they both in agreement, they in a loike that somebody will not get Malkus if it was done deliberately, if he deliberately violated his Shvua. The Machloikus is only as to why. Rabbi Yochanan ain't a loike, because he holds it to Lav Shem by Maisa. And Rabbi Yochanan is of the opinion, the call Lav Shem by Maisa, and loike in a love. Reish Lokashtam ain't a loike, for a different reason. Because he considered this a situation of Asra Sofik, Vasra Sofik lo yashma Asra. So first of all, why is Rabbi Yochanan not concerned about the Asra Sofik? Gemara that we learned to Masech the Makis. Rabbi Yochanan holds Asra Sofik Shema Asra. So that isn't the problem. Why is this a Asra Sofik? So Rashi explains. This person made a shvua that he's going to eat a loaf of bread. He made the shvua at 6:30 in the morning. 7:30 I go over to him and tell him, you know, you made a shvua you're going to eat the loaf of bread. It's Asra Sofik, because he has the whole day to eat the loaf of bread. I ask Rashi, you could say that in the morning, but what about right before night? And I see he didn't eat the loaf of bread. Don't I have then the opportunity to go over to him and tell him, you know, it's almost night. You better fulfill your shvua. So Rashi says it's impossible to be able to determine exactly what is the moment that he's going to be over the shvua, and it always remains a Hasra Sofik. So that's why Reish Lakish says that you're not chayiv Malkus in such a situation, because it's Asra Sofik. Rabbi Yochanan, who holds Asra Sofik Shema Asra, that can't be the reason that he doesn't get Malkus. Rather, what is the reason he doesn't get Malkus? Because it's Lav Shem B'Maisa. But ask the Gemara, here Rabbi Yochanan is paskening, the Lav Shem B'Maisa, you don't get Malkus. And here we finished explaining our Mishnah, that our Mishnah is teaching us that it's following the opinion that for the Lav of Rabbi Shmuel, that for the Shvua that somebody makes, that he's going to eat a loaf of bread, and then he doesn't eat it. He gets Malkus. Rabbi Yochanan says we should always follow Stam Mishnah. Answers the Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan Stam Achrin Ashkach. Rabbi Yochanan found another Stam Mishnah. So Mefarsh, and that's what we're going to start working with now. We won't even finish the sugya today. Looking for another Stam Mishnah that says the Lav Sheim B'Maisi, you don't get Malkus. Ask the Rishonim. Let's say we'll find such a Mishnah. We're about to find such a Mishnah. At least attempt to find such a Mishnah. Why would this Mishnah be any better than our Mishnah? So we'll have two stams. Why is that stam any better than this stam? So I saw three answers. One answer is, one Mishnah will tell us you give a Jew Malkus. One Mishnah tells us you don't give a Malkus. When you have a Suffolk, don't give Malkus. One answer. Another answer is that when you have a steer of stam Mishnayis, then we have to look at the author. And if one Mishnah is the author of a Das Yochid, and one Mishnah is a Rabbonin, it's a Rabbim, then that's the way to get out. And the third answer is that the Mishnah we're just about to quote, it's a Mishnah we just learned also recently, the end of Masech Makis, but it's not only Masech Makis on Daf Yud Zayin, it's also Mishnah Masech Psochem Daf Pei Dalet. So this Stam Mishnah will appear twice in Shas. This Stam Mishnah that we learned, our Mishnah we learned yesterday, is only once in Shas, so we'll go with the Stam Mishnah that appears twice. What does the Mishnah say? Which Stam Mishnah are we referring to? If somebody leaves over of the Karban Pesach that was brought b'tahara, or hashayver b'tamei, or somebody breaks the bone of Karban Pesach that was brought b'tumah, when most of Kli Yisrael are tamei, that we know Karban Pesach may be brought, ain't a loikus abayim, doesn't get malchus. And explains the Gemara. Bishlam b'shayver b'tamei, t'ksiv, v'etzim loisish b'rubay. And we explain that where is there an isser to break a bone of the Karban Pesach? Strictly b'kosher, a Karban Pesach that was brought b'tahara, v'lo b'pasul. Avel amayis b'tar, but this halacha, that if somebody leaves over of the meat of the Karban Pesach, from a Karban Pesach that was brought with Tahara, my Tama, what is the reason you don't get Malchus? Lam shum davalev shebe maisa. It must be because it's a lav shebe maisa. You just left over, you didn't actively do anything, and the Mishnah is teaching us, this time Mishnah is teaching us, that kol lav shein be maisa, ain't like in a love. Isn't it a gevalda garaya? Says the Gemara, umay, says the Gemara, who says to explain that that's pshat in the Mishnah? Which is actually what Rabbi Yaakov said. Rabbi Yaakov, he, Domalash ain't my maisa, ain't like in a love, and therefore we have a Stam Mishnah proving that Alash ain't my maisa, you don't get Malchus. Dilma, perhaps the way to understand that Mishnah is there's a different reason why Malchus is not given there. It follows the reasoning Rabbi Yehuda gave. The Dilma Rabbi Yehuda, he, Mshum the Ba'a Kosif, Litan Esa Achaloisa say. We learned in Masech the Malchus that Alav Hanitik Lasei, there's no Malchus. The lav of Noiser is a lav of Nitek Lasei. Because the Torah says, don't leave over. If you leave over, based on Sreifu. So it's a lav of Nitek Lasei. So that Mishnah isn't the proof, says now the Gemara, that there is no Malchus for lav Shem Maisa. Because the reason there's no Malchus there is because it's a lav of Nitek Lasei. Mishum the Bar Kosef, Litain Asei Achaloisasei. The Torah made it into lav of Nitek Lasei. If just the fact that it was a lav shem b'maisa, perhaps you would still get Malchus. The Tanya, loisasirim men ha'baiker. The pasuk says, as we just quoted, loisasirim men ha'baiker, v'anoisim men ha'baiker, ab'eish t'sreifu, bo'a kosiv, litin esa lach loisasei. The Torah made it into a lav ha'nitik lasei. Loimush ain't like an alav, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rav Yaakov disagrees, as we said. Rav Yaakov, I'm a loimen Hashem huzeh. That isn't the reason why Malchus isn't given when you leave over of the Karban Pesach. Shum da v'lav shem v'maisa. And his opinion is, v'lav shem v'maisa ain't loikin alav. But again, just to review where we're up to. According to Rabbi Yehuda's explanation, we're looking for a Stam Mishnah that says, v'lav shem v'maisa, there is no Malchus. That Mishnah is not a proof, because that Mishnah could be a lav v'nitik lasei, not a lav shem v'maisa. And as the Rishonim explained, Rabbi Yaakov, who says it's a lav shem v'maisa, Rabbi Yehuda says it's a lav v'nitik lasei, it's not to say that Rabbi Yaakov disagrees that you don't get Malchus for a lav v'nitik lasei. Because when we learned Masechta Malchus, it was universal that everybody agrees that a lav v'nitik lasei, there's no Malchus. Rather, how do we understand Rabbi Yaakov's opinion? He's going to say that the pasuk that says that noisim v'mena be'esh t'sreifu is not coming to connect this to an essay, that the essay, as we described, repairs the lav. Rather, what we're trying to accomplish here says, what Rabbi Yaakov says the pasuk is teaching us is that you have to burn the noiser, but you're not allowed to burn it on yontif. You have to burn it on a day that's not yontif. However, the halacha is, as we learned in Masech Demarkus, the lav she'en b'maisa ain't like an alav. And I saw a beautiful vart. When we spoke about this pasuk a lot at the end of Masech Demarkus, La Yosef, you shouldn't give more. Abraham Yakenu, you should give him the 39 makas. La Yosef, Pen Yosef and Nikla Makar Rabba. You have to be careful not to give him a Makar Rabba. The word Rabba is Begamakriya 207. And the Rambam, we know, I quoted this when we started Masechta Makas, says there are 207 situations for which you get Malchus. But if you get Malchus also for Lav Shem Maisa, it would be a lot more than 207. So the Torah is alluding with saying the word Rabba, that you only get Malchus for Lav Sheyesh B'Maisa, not for Lav Shein B'Maisa.